talk about RHEL from this perspective.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I think we're clearly facing unprecedented times, and not only for people personally, but of course for the IT and how businesses run. And I think you touched on a couple of points. I think the use cases are changing because everyone has gone fully remote. Some businesses need to burst their ability to use infrastructure. That's causing additional challenges. And on the flip side, to your point, on the infrastructure level, it's much harder to get your folks, right, standing there in front of the hardware and being able to do things like updates and so forth. So I would say there are some fundamental things when we've always approached RHEL to be an enterprise Linux. I mean, that's our focus. So things like security and resiliency have always been important to us, right, dating back to our real roots, right, with things like SC Linux in there. We have continuously progressed on that space and driving those aspects of it. So I'd say one thing that, and we announced in October actually an update to our security policy, our focus with our security team on looking at things like CVEs and our ability to help customers mitigate those CVEs across the entire lifecycle of the product. We have classified our CVEs into criticals and importance and so forth. We have always guaranteed that we will help mitigate criticals. In the past, we had committed to mitigate certain importance, but it was not a blanket statement of all importance. In October, we changed that policy. So now we mitigate all supported versions of RHEL from 6 going forward for all criticals and importance. And that was based upon, and this is one thing that's important to me, that was based upon customer asks. That was us engaging with customers and them saying, listen, we're chasing tools that are popping, you know, flags based upon CVSS scores, and we don't know how to understand which ones we need to mitigate in our implementation and which ones we don't. So that was a big step forward for us, and that will to continue to pay off in folks' subscriptions. I think the other piece that I'd really like to highlight is back when we did RHEL 8, we announced what we call Insights. And Insights was put into and is available to in every subscription, RHEL 6.4 and forward. But what that is it's our ability in an opt-in SaaS environment for us to help bring Red Hat expertise and knowledge directly into the data center. And that piece, while we launched it last year with one capability called Advisor, which gave some visibility to how the infrastructure is running, this announcement here, we have expanded that capability dramatically with things like drift monitoring and things like CVE coverage to a much deeper granularity, patching and checking patches. What this does is it really amplifies the skills that are in an ops team already and with the skills within a sysadmin team already. And this provides sort of a Red Hat consultation, if you will, right, directly into the data center. So to me, as we look at our current situation, never has it been more important to have an operating system that is resilient and secure. And we're focused on that. But also this Insights capability allows much more efficient operational advancement. The third piece, which you touched on too, is the need for public cloud. Now, our focus has always been to provide a consistent Linux experience across a hybrid cloud. And that hybrid cloud is open, right, with choice across multiple public clouds. We have added in things like Subscription Watch. Subscription Watch allows you to look at the subscriptions you've purchased and how are they deployed on-prem, in a cloud, and get a single view of that. So that's really focusing on that hybrid capability and being able to get sort of full knowledge of how you're deploying it. Our focus in our subscriptions is for us to continue to add value and for customers to be able to get the most value out of their subscription. I think Insights is a huge step forward in that. Us adding the security capabilities is a huge step forward in that. And then, of course, we're partnered with the rest of the portfolio, things like OpenShift, Ansible. All of that comes together in a Red Hat story.
And if you look at the the version 8.2, I think it was released last week. How many of these features, you know, kind of, because a lot of features were either in the alpha, beta phase, you know, you're like the developer preview there. How many of these features made into 8.2, or to simplify it for you, can you talk about some of the major highlights or major features of this release in the context of what we just talked about?
Yeah, I think there are some key things that I think 8.2 marks our commitment and delivery on the promises we made last year when we announced RHEL 8. When we announced RHEL 8, it was a real bit of a game changer for us. We wanted to redefine the value that an operating system provides to a customer, sort of in many aspects. One is, how does it help you run the business better? And secondly, how does it help you grow the business with innovation? And we really positioned it in those two spaces. We did some things around that operational efficiency aspect. What we heard from customers was the predictability of minor releases and major releases. Them not knowing when they were coming was causing disruptions for them. So 8.2 is now the second time we have delivered on our commitment of having minor releases every 6 months. That's a big deal for us. And so as we look at the features that come in, and we'll talk about some of those, I think we have become very disciplined internal to say there is value to customers to having predictability of minor releases on a 6 month cycle. We drive as much feature function as we can in that, and then we know that in 6 months we'll be adding new innovation. So that's key to us, and I think that was a big step for us to take. When you look at the capabilities that are in there, I mentioned the security updates. That, of course, will continue, and that was a big step for us. We added the insights capability. To me, that's probably one of the most impactful adds to the subscription, because now, even between minor releases, we continuously add better rules, more capabilities. So that's kind of like this subscription gift that keeps on giving, and we're very committed to having that provide better operational efficiency, tying back to situations like now where it's really tough to get your skills into the data center. And then if we move forward now into kind of the new innovation areas, you'll see we've had application streams, which we announced in RHEL 8. We have now added in updated versions of Builda and Scopio, which are our container tools native into RHEL. We now have containerized versions of those. So we'll continue to progress there. And then we've done some things about in-place upgrades, being able to directly in-place upgrade from a RHEL 7 version into 8.2. So, you know, we made a set of commitments to ourselves and to the market and to our customers when we announced RHEL 8. I feel like 8.2 is our delivering upon that promise. On many aspects of where we see an operating system really can provide value.
Right, and if you do look at, you know, these modern workloads and where the modern OS adds value, we also look at emerging technologies like, you know, I don't know if machine learning AI is emerging anymore. You know, it has become such a... but if you look at the OS itself, how is it evolving to serve the needs of such workloads, or, you know, it doesn't really matter because the way Linux or, you know, RHEL has been kind of developed, it has been evolving, you know, in a very, you know, organic manner.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And to your point on AI and ML, right, it's hard to say that it's not emerging because there's so much more that can be done with it. You know, it's like, yes, there's stuff being done, but there's so much more that can be done. I think one of the great things about AI and machine learning is, first off, it starts with the fact that innovation like machine learning, deep learning, artificial intelligence, all being built upon Linux. So Linux has become that sort of foundation for innovation. Public cloud, all built on Linux. The AI machine learning, all built on Linux. So Linux is kind of this foundation, and it has now become the springboard of innovation. What our role is to make sure that that Linux, when it's ready to be deployed in production, in an environment that we're facing today with resiliency and stability and security issues, that's where RHEL plays. So as we look at these emerging and ever-developing things come into production, that's where we play. The second piece, I think, and this is probably one of the most interesting things about that particular space you brought up, is AI and machine learning and deep learning is driving a real change in the hardware aspect of what's being done. Not only the software, but the hardware. So now you look at what we do in RHEL and at Red Hat, right? We are all about the ecosystem. And we have been partnering with multiple architectures for a long time. That's part of our core value proposition, providing that choice across multiple architectures, whether it be an x86 architecture, ARM, Power, mainframe with IBM Z, right? We want to provide customers that choice. Now you pull in capabilities like FPGAs, GPU capability, our partnership with NVIDIA. Right? When you look into a space like machine learning and deep learning and AI, it's really how do you bridge that evolving and ever-evolving and more complex ecosystem, but make that consumable into an enterprise? And that's what gets me so excited about it. I come from a hardware background, so I really appreciate when the hardware provides a differentiation for those workloads, and that's where all of this is coming together. So we're very focused on our ecosystem, making sure that we're working in the right upstream communities with the right ISVs, with the right hardware partners to make all of that magic come together. And I think what we're also seeing is our presence in the technical computing space as AI is progressing and technical computing, right? They're kind of coming to this point where they're becoming more and more similar because of this sort of really aggressive analytics type of work. Our work and our background there is really providing us help, right? You look at some key systems like Summit and Sierra, right? Leading the top 500 supercomputers. That was work that we did. It's built upon Power architecture. And now, thankfully, right, some of those systems are working on the COVID work. So I think it comes down when it comes to AI, it comes down to having an ecosystem, being there when the hardware is progressing, when the ISVs are progressing. But it's just the start of the opportunity that's available there.
And since we are talking about emerging, I cannot not talk about edge computing. So where is edge computing in the radar of RHEL?
So I think, and you'll hear it at Summit, when we look at edge computing, and now I think the use cases are becoming clearer because, you know, even 2 years ago, it was like people said edge and there's like so many different aspects of what's the use case you mean? I think we're really approaching it at Red Hat as a portfolio story around edge. When you look at the area like telco, and you'll be hearing a lot about this at Summit, when we look at the area of telco where containers are really driving a lot of the new advancements, right, we have a really strong focus with OpenShift there, bringing in our Kubernetes capabilities. Now, OpenShift runs on RHEL. RHEL is the Linux that underpins it. So the things that we do in security and the tooling that we provide, that all feeds up into the OpenShift environment. But as you span out across that edge environment, what we're seeing is in that core space where containers are being deployed, we really position OpenShift, again, all built on RHEL and RHEL Core OS. But there's an area out at the edge where it's what I call device edge, right? It's that first aggregation point of kind of all your sensors, right? That is a small, takes hardware often from the data center, but it's a small server-like footprint that can provide even acceleration capabilities, but aggregates that data. Those are a really unique use case where sometimes those systems go out, they're deployed for a long time, they need a tailored RHEL, right? So it may be smaller, but we allow that with tools like Image Builder. You can pull that down into a tailored version of RHEL. You can launch that and you still bring in the security, the resiliency, the consistency by using things like Image Builder. That's a place where long lifecycle is important and that's where RHEL plays. So I think what you'll see is a Red Hat story around edge where OpenShift built on RHEL has a huge extension, but then we bring in operational consistency in the use cases where long lifecycle is required. It's either single container, but it's single server deployments, not cluster deployments. That's where RHEL can really play. So, and then you bring in Ansible. I really like the edge story from Red Hat because it really is a portfolio story. I don't think you can sort of talk about edge in any one single use case anymore, right? It's very, very comprehensive.
And as you said, you have to bring all these things, and you have to bring at some point Kubernetes also into the discussion. Though the Linux of the cloud is still Linux, but sometimes people do say that, you know, Kubernetes is the Linux of the cloud, you know, in a way, or because of its popularity and everything else. So can you talk a bit about, you know, how these two adjacent technologies are keeping up with each other? Because, you know, Kubernetes is, you know, being developed at their own pace, and the kernel is being developed at its own pace. But, you know, you have to serve some of those common goals. So talk about that work.
Sure, absolutely. And I think we're driving a very tight partnership, of course, with the OpenShift team. So if you look at how Linux is deployed within a Kubernetes environment, it's very different. It's actually much more complicated, right, than in a traditional deployment. I think we've made some key changes here that it's helpful to step through. When you look at OpenShift and its ability in Kubernetes to be updated and pull in new updates, it needed to be updated with the kernel. And because the Kubernetes calls into the kernel are so tightly wound, right? It's just like they work together so tightly. And so that's why we created RHEL CoreOS, right? Red Hat Enterprise Linux CoreOS. And what that is really an optimized version of RHEL for the OpenShift experience. It's deployed as an immutable. It is a feature within OpenShift. The packages are selected in order to optimize the OpenShift experience, right? So it's tailored, it's narrow, and it gets updated as part of your OpenShift update to provide that single sort of comprehensive. Because when you look at security, you need that Kubernetes and that kernel to be updated together. And that was key for us. Now, if you look at that Linux deployment up into the container, and this is where it starts to get unique, is that in a Kubernetes-based or container environment, you have Linux in your container, right? That user space is captured in the container. So if you look at a security issue that touches the user space, you really need to know what is in that container and what's the user space. And for that reason, we released Universal Base Image, which is anyone can use it, you can redistribute it, but once that user space is used on RHEL or on OpenShift, that full stack, we fully support it, because now we know we can provide that consistent Linux experience that you know about on RHEL, but we can provide that across the kernel, the Kubernetes, and the user space. And that's key, because as you said, right, Kubernetes is a new way to deploy Linux. That's what it is. And so we're very focused on providing operational consistency by leveraging our technology in RHEL and then bringing in that incredible capability of Kubernetes within our OpenShift product line. So it really is a tight collaboration. I think, you know, it's kind of moving forward, but what we're really focused on, what is the customer experience so that they know they get easy updates with consistency and reliability, resiliency, and security. We're pulling all of that together, but it's a fascinating space to watch, right? Such great advancements going on.